From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Judges. Today, he continues a message entitled, The Price of Backsliding. Shamgar, the third judge of Israel, had died. Repeating a pattern that pervades the book of Judges, the people had fallen away from God as soon as Shamgar's influence was gone. Consequently, God gave them into bondage to Jabin, the king of Canaan. In their misery, they cried to the Lord for deliverance. And in his mercy, God raised up Deborah to lead the army of Israel against Sisera, Jabin's captain. Before coming to Deborah, however, Dr. Cairns is taking time to sound a warning against the sin of backsliding. The danger to the Church of Jesus Christ is no different today than it was in the days of the Judges. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. The text for today is found in Judges chapter 13 and verse 23, the words of Samson's mother. If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things. This is a sort of promise deduced by logic. It is an inference fairly drawn from ascertained facts. It was not likely that the Lord had revealed to Manoah and his wife that a son would be born to them, and yet had it in his heart to destroy them. The wife reasoned well, and we shall do well if we follow her line of argument. The Father has accepted the great sacrifice of Calvary, and has declared himself well pleased therewith. How can he now be pleased to kill us? Why a substitute if the sinner must still perish? The accepted sacrifice of Jesus puts an end to fear. The Lord has shown us our election, our adoption, our union to Christ, our marriage to the well-beloved. How can he now destroy us? The promises are loaded with blessings which necessitate our being preserved unto eternal life. It is not possible for the Lord to cast us away and yet fulfill his covenant. The past assures us, and the future reassures us. We shall not die, but live, for we have seen Jesus, and in him we have seen the Father by the illumination of the Holy Ghost. Because of this life-giving sight, we must live forever.
Rejoice in the Lord, I must say it again, rejoice.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
It comes as a surprise to people nowadays to find out that a mere couple of generations back, the daily newspapers were filled with what men of God had to say in the situation. The voice that molded the opinion of the people was the voice that came from God through the pulpit. That's no longer the case. Last week I referred to Ted Turner's iniquitous speech regarding the power and position of the media, in which he referred to Jesus Christ as a loser. And he wanted no man who would die for his sin. I hope that you're not a supporter in any way of anything that the foul hand of Mr. Turner has anything to do with. Because God will blow upon that man. You watch him very carefully. But what he had to say was that we in the press, especially in the television, we are the people who form the opinions of the populace at large. Sadly, that is all too true. But before we run blaming the Ted Turners and the Ted couples and all the other Teds that are to the fore in that business, let us come to ourselves and realize that all the power in the world cannot stand against the power of God. If God's church had the authority, the mighty power, the amen of God, the ringing clarity of heaven behind its ministry, there is nothing that could stand in our way. The trouble starts with God's people. We read they did evil. Here's their perverseness. What they did was, they did evil. That was disobedience. Their disobedience could be put broadly that they didn't live according to what they professed to believe. Now that is always the essence of backsliding. That's always at the heart of an individual Christian or of a church movement departing from God. They don't live up to what they believe. Then the next step is they change what they believe to bring their belief into line with their ungodly living. You see, belief and life must always go together, and they can only be out of step for a certain amount of time. When you profess to believe this book, to believe this gospel, to believe this revelation, and yet you are not living in the light of this book, it will not be very long until you are brought to the place of changing what you believe to bring it into line with what you're doing. That was their evil. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. Particularly their evil was that they broke down the uniqueness of God's people. They were a people separated, but they refused to be separated. I have to wonder at God's people. The beauty of a Christian is that he's a peculiar person. Now, I realize that the word peculiar is sort of an ambivalent term, and you can take it in many different ways. I mean, there are peculiar people that I wouldn't want anything to do with their peculiarity. The peculiarity of God's people is their holiness, their separation unto God, their likeness to Christ, the fact that they are out of step with the world, and they would die of a heart attack if they got into step with the world. That's the mark, the peculiar mark of a child of God. As we were reading this morning, they're strangers and they are pilgrims in the earth. But compromise makes Christians ashamed of their difference with the world. So you have Christians who want to look like the world. You have Christians who want to walk like the world. They want to talk like the world. They want their whole life to be as near as they can possibly get to the world without giving up their profession of faith in Jesus Christ, destroying the lines of demarcation, pulling down the wall of separation between God's people and the world. That was the evil of the children of Israel. They did it again. Refusing to be warned. What a tragedy. When God's people, again and again and again, break down the separation. And they did it in the sight of the Lord. That's an intriguing phrase. I believe that we could say that it means that according to God's standards, they were doing evil. Now, they were regulating their affairs by the standards of men. And by the standards of men, They were okay. Remember what the first psalm and the first verse says? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God's blessing is in the man who doesn't walk the way the world walks. Who doesn't stand in the place the world stands. And he will not sit down to scorn the things of God. But you see, when you start running your affairs by the standards of the world, it will not be long until you're the very opposite to the blessed man in Psalm 1. And of course, when you're the opposite to him in his character, you'll be the opposite to him in his experience. For God says, my blessing is upon him. You'll find that your compromise will lead to bondage and bitterness. But when it says in the sight of the Lord, I think it means also that they may have been able to keep up the appearances to the gaze of man. But God could see the heart. I think there you have the real heart of the matter as far as most Christians are concerned. Now we have got to face reality, and I'm speaking as a friend, I'm speaking as one who's in the same situation with you. I'm not an onlooker. We are facing a situation today where we have got to recognize the departure of the glory, the lack of power, the lack of God's presence, the lack of authority, the lack of that overwhelming exhibition of the right hand of God when the gospel is going forth. We are in the position of having to see that this calamity is upon us. We're looking for the reason, and I think we come to it here. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. You see, we can keep up the outward facade. They still had the tabernacle. The lamb was slain every morning and every evening. The priests, no doubt, were, at least for a time, I believe at this early part of the book of Judges, at least this would be true, they were keeping up their daily routine. They were looking after the minutia of the law. But their hearts were not right with God. What a picture of our churches, and what a picture of our people, what a picture of ourselves. We can split the theological hairs. We can dot the I's and cross the T's in any theological dispute. We have raised a race and a generation in fundamentalism that will make a man a heretic for a word. But in the area in which it really matters, in the warmth, should I say rather, in the burning fire of a heart relationship with God, we have lost out. Keeping up the appearances to men, the standards are all right. The outward show is all there. It's hard to put your finger on what's wrong. The services in the church are going on. The prayer meetings are going on. The Bible is still believed. We still do all that we always did. But the fire has gone out of it. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. It's interesting. God says they did it when Ehud was dead. When they did it, as soon as Ehud died. There are Christians that only seem to go on well when they have somebody standing over them as a supervisor. If that's the case, then make sure you have a supervisor. If you need what people call this personal accountability, it would certainly be better for you if you had that between you and the Lord. But nonetheless, God has established it in his church. In fact, the name of an elder is bishop or overseer. He's there to oversee. He's there to supervise. And if you find that there are things that can best be kept in control, if you have an accountability to a mature believer, then by all means get their help. Don't make them your confessing priest, mind you. Don't turn them to closet Romanists. But at the same time, if their supervision, if their constant encouragement is needed for you to go on with God, then recognize your weakness and don't be too proud to go and get the help. But it's interesting here that when the judge died, they sinned. As soon as sin ceases to be judged, it gains the mastery. Now there is a truth of Scripture that you would do well to mark in your life. We are called to judge our own sin. Murray McShane used to pray that God would make him as holy as it was possible for a saved sinner to be. I think every Christian understands that desire. Lord, make me holy. But every Christian also understands that he's not sinless. He'll never be sinless in this world. And the Bible recognizes that. God is not waiting for you and me to become sinless, to bless us and use us. Otherwise, he never would bless us, or he never would use us. But what he does call on us to do is judge our sin. Put it to the sword of the Word of God. Bring it under the judgment of the Spirit of God in the Word. And when we judge sin, we will get victory over sin. Let me tell you, in church life, discipline is essential to blessing. In individual life, discipline is essential to blessing. If you take an easy view of sin, if you simply cruise along without any great hardship, without putting the flesh to the sword of the Word of God, man, I tell you, you will be brought under the dominion of a worse enemy than Jabin, the king of Canaan. Tell me, how often do you hear preachers nowadays talk about mortification? The very word has an old-fashioned ring. Mortification simply means the putting to death. That's all. The putting to death of the flesh. Our Puritan forefathers were constantly preaching on mortifying the flesh. Now, if you don't understand the basis of their preaching, if you don't understand the basis of mortification, you live in bondage, you live in legalism, you live in frustration. But if you understand the full Lord gospel, that we are alive in Christ, that our righteousness is freely given to us in Christ, that our union is with Christ, that our security is in Christ, that our acceptance is in Christ, and that our motive for living is in Christ. When you understand that and you turn your eyes Christward, there will be begotten in your heart a hatred of everything that is antagonistic to Christ. There will be begotten in your heart a desire to deal with the old man. Paul says, put off the old man. That's mortification. Don't you think for a minute that the old man is going to jump off. He's got to be put off. Don't think for a moment that sin in your life is simply going to bow its head and say, I give up the fight. That's not going to happen. Don't think for one moment that the flesh is going to roll over and play dead. It's not going to happen. There is a mortification. There is a judging of sin. There is the taking of the sword of Holy Scripture and applying God's sword to the flesh. Now that is real, serious Christian living.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, You may have a copy free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.